Well, I think Martin Green's stolen all my best lines, so I might just have to go and sit down. You couldn't hear it. Oh, well, that's fine then. Good evening. My name's Fiona Devoy. I'm very pleased to be asked to speak tonight, because most people don't usually think what I do is very interesting, because I'm a librarian. I usually start yawning at that point. I think it's an excellent topic for John to have chosen to do as a series on Sunday evenings. I found it a very interesting reflective exercise, having to think about my work and about my faith in the workplace. So I've got something out of it, and hopefully you might get something out of it too. As Mark Green says, I think I very much compartmentalise my life, and it's really useful to get the chance to sort of bring it into a Christian context. So what do I do? As I said, I'm a librarian. I've spent most of my working life in education, except for a brief spell in nursing before I was married. And I gave up the nursing basically because I hated it. It's a bit like it's a modern day equivalent of being in service, I think. And the shift system was really hard for me to cope with. And we thought when I got married that working as a librarian would actually be better for our family when we had one. But unfortunately, that didn't quite work out for us. So I've worked in education as both a librarian and as a primary teacher very briefly, although most of my time has been spent as a librarian in 4 secondary schools and a range of primary schools. I had one brief and tedious experience of working in a nursery. Although I am qualified as a nursery teacher, I would not trust me with your under fives. So I'm never going to do that. You know, I'd rather be boiled in oil than work with under fives, I have to say. 5 to 18s is more my style. If there had been, I qualified quite recently as a primary teacher, and if there had been any jobs doing that, I probably would be doing that now. But having said that, if I was currently working as a primary teacher, I wouldn't be doing all the other things that I do, because I just wouldn't have the energy for it. And I've just qualified as a reader, so that's something I think that is actually going to sit better together, being a librarian and being a reader. So I'll probably settle down to be a librarian for the rest of my days, either until retirement or they make me redundant, one or the other, whichever comes first. And the career paths that I've chosen have been because I've always felt I wanted to do something that counted, not something trivial. I couldn't be a DJ or a hairdresser, with apologies to anybody who is a DJ or a hairdresser who's present here tonight. I've been in my current school since 1999, St Mungo's RC Secondary School in Falkirk, although I've had some time off for good behaviour, for a secondment and for a career break. And as you would expect, my job revolves around the promotion of literacy in the widest sense, reading and writing and oral literacy, as well as information literacy or research skills. I'm the only librarian in the school, but I work with quite a wide range of teaching and support staff. And as well as running the library and providing resources to support the curriculum, I teach the pupil research skills when they come into the library from various classes across the curriculum. And I do literacy promotion with English classes, and I run special events such as author talks, book groups, visits to the book festival, you name it, anything with literacy, I will do it. And another element that I have, another bow to my string, is working with the careers advisor. So I have quite a lot of contact with the senior pupils who are thinking about moving on, what courses they want to do and what jobs they're looking for. Now, I have to say that St Mungo's is the best secondary school I've ever worked in terms of the pupil behaviour and also the school ethos. I don't know if it's because it's a faith school. I would need to really work in a different faith school as well to find out if that's the case. But it certainly helps that we have a philosophy to support what we're doing, or a religion to support what we're doing. You just don't have that in a non-denominational school. In a non-denominational school, it's just a case of you do this because I say you do it, or this is the way we do it because we don't really have a justification for it. But in a Roman Catholic school, we have quite overtly the Christian faith as our common approach to things. And when I went for my interview in 1999, I can remember quite clearly, they asked me if they thought I would fit in with the Christian ethos of the school, which quite impressed me. The Christian ethos, they didn't say the Catholic ethos, the Christian ethos. And I explained that I could support that quite fully in whatever I did. 40% of the school aren't RC, 40% of the pupils and the staff. We have 1,400 pupils. We're actually bursting at the seams, and about 150 staff. And I work with all the pupils at one point or another, and most of the staff. And the school is a community on its own, and we have quite a caring ethos. We lay a lot of emphasis on charity work and volunteering and raising money, and on the pastoral side of working with the pupils. And we work with a wide range of pupils from across the Falkirk Council area. We're working with quite a wide range of pupils socially. We work with the very academically able pupils with very affluent parents, the ones who will be doctors and lawyers and accountants and pillars of society. But the other extreme, we have the kids who are disadvantaged in a range of ways. Come from low-income families where maybe they've got two or three families to live in between. Been brought up by grandparents or carers, or some of the older ones actually live independently. And with some of the kids who are just poor souls who have never had a break in their lives. And some kids where the parents are actually the biggest liability, whose stories would make your hair curl. Now, although staff are there to teach the kids English or geography or maths or whatever, the bottom line is really that we all provide social and pastoral care to the pupils, looking after them in whatever circumstances they find themselves in life. And what qualifications they end up with are really secondary to why we are there. I know that the government would disagree with me. We want them to have a good educational experience, but really it's about looking after the whole child. We've got kids, as I said, with all sorts of problems. We've got quite a number of children from across Eastern Europe who have minimal English or absolutely no English at all. We've got kids who are living in quite extreme states of poverty, kids with poor educational levels within the parents themselves, kids with global learning difficulties, kids who will be pregnant by the time they're 15, teenagers who are on drugs, kids with gender issues, all sorts of kids with all sorts of problems. In extreme cases, we have kids who are terminally ill, those who suffered sexual abuse, and there was one girl never to be forgotten who was so violent she needed a minder herself. So, I mean, you name it, we've got it. We see the wide range of everybody. But when they leave the school, we want pupils to have self-respect and respect for others, to be confident and polite with a set of positive moral values and the ability to find a niche in society where they can contribute positively. And if they get a few exams along the way, then we'll be doing quite well. So what challenges do I face in work and as a Christian in this context? Well, a secondary school is like a juggernaut. It just keeps going regardless of what's happening. I've seen all sorts of things happening, fires and floods, staff and pupil deaths, child abuse scandals, you name it. But no matter what's happening, the whole thing just keeps trundling on. I think the biggest challenge I face is to remember that the job is about people, about relationships, as Mark Green has said. It's really easy to let all the processes, the deadlines, the timetables and the demands of the curriculum to dominate the fact it's about the people that matter. We need to look out for the pupils and the staff. About 10 to 15% of our staff are probationers or maternity covers or otherwise temporary, quite a lot of inexperienced staff. And they're under a lot of stress as well as the permanent staff, and they all need to be supported too, and quite often in a secondary school it's quite easy not to get that support. So my philosophy is to be as helpful as possible to all staff, teaching or support at whatever level they're at, wherever possible, with the proviso that I need to look after my own well-being as well. So the big challenge is to remember that it's all about people, and my faith helps me in that view. I do pray for the people around me, although probably I don't pray enough, and that's something that I feel quite challenged to do, you know, having reflected on this. I like very much the fact that it's a faith school. There will be some Christians, a small number of evangelical Christians, who would say that Catholics are not Christians. They don't count as real Christians at all, but I wouldn't have any truck with that whatsoever. In any faith, there's going to be people who are paying lip service and other ones who are strongly committed to what they believe in, and St Mungo's is not any exception. So I take a full part in the Christian life of the school. The oratory is just opposite the library. You can tell when there's mass on in the morning because of the incense that wafts across. We have weekly masses for those who want to attend. We have whole school masses, which is a sight to behold with that number of pupils, I have to say. We have whole school masses for holidays of obligation and St Mungo's Day on the 13th of January, which you knew. The Cardinal comes in, and we have different events throughout the liturgical year. We have Ashes on Ash Wednesday and the Book of Remembrance for November. And of course, this is quite interesting actually, the Pope has declared a year of faith for the 20th anniversary of the end of the Second Vatican Council. So that's going to be interesting. We're going to have a kind of mission in the school to help increase people's faith. And I find that I gain quite a lot from belonging to this Christian community as an alternative to my own church here. We've got quite an international community at St Mungo's. About 30 other languages are spoken by our pupils, either as a first or a second language. And it's a reminder to me that most Christians in the world aren't Scottish Presbyterians and express their faith in other ways, whether we agree with the theology or not. And the pupils always assume that you're a Catholic as a member of staff, and they can be quite interested when they find out that you're actually one of those Protestants, you know, that might have been brought up to think, you know, are not quite the thing. As teenagers, stroppy teenagers, many of them, I have to say, most of them are quite passionate atheists, as people tend to be at that age. So that can lead to quite a few interesting discussions as well. And you can get a bit of banter going with staff too over the whole divide between the two. As I said, they're not all Catholics and certainly not all Christians. And it's quite good to be able to provide another point of view for the pupils. I was thinking how to sum up where my faith is at work. And I think it's all to do with baptism. It's to do with my baptism. And also, it occurred to me, it suddenly hit me when I was sitting in church in Queen's Ferry last week when we had an infant baptism. You know that bit where the congregation is invited to take responsibility for the child and everybody stands and said, we do. I think that's really what I'm about at work. I think taking responsibility for the education and upbringing of these young people in our care. So I hope all that makes sense to you, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you.
Jenny's next. As she comes up, could I just sort of flag up that you've sometimes been at, many of you have sometimes been at services where there are prayer stations. Tonight we're going to have living prayer stations. And these are the people we're hearing speak, but I'm just flagging that up for you right now so that you know what's going to happen towards the end. Over to you, Jenny.
Hi, I'm Jenny Willis, and I'm a quantity surveyor, work in the construction industry, have done for 16 or 17 years now. For those of you that don't know what a quantity surveyor is, I can probably best describe it as somebody that deals with the money and aspects of legislation and construction projects. I started off 17 years ago as an apprentice on a pittance of a salary, and probably in August 2008, the wheels just fell off construction. We plummeted into a recession. The days of construction companies having lots of money to spend, lots of money to pass on to suppliers and subcontractors disappeared almost overnight. I was working for a main contractor. I was working for... Do I have a lawyer present? I don't know if I can say who it was. I was working for a large construction company who decided to take a very hard stance on subcontractors, turn around and saying, that was the contract you signed up to, you failed to adhere to that, we're not paying you for that. Subcontractors were actually out thousands and thousands of pounds. And it just started to become a really, really an unhappy place to work. People started to get quite bullish. You saw people making people redundant, left, right and centre. It was a changed industry from when I came into it. My own situation was that I felt that the job that I was in was not one that God wanted me there for a while. And I also felt that he would tell me when it was my time to leave. And reluctantly, I did not want to leave. Didn't want to leave the security of my very well-paid job to face a life of uncertainty. How was I going to survive? How was I going to afford to pay the mortgage? How was I going to pay debts? And I did feel that God actually pushed me into self-employment. And it was a hard decision, and it was one that it was a phone call from somebody I used to work beside that night who said that they had an opportunity for a job for me if I wanted it. And I felt that, in fact, I was told that I was O ye of little faith. And I did actually see this as a great assurance that me stepping out, God would look after me. Now, I didn't actually get that job, and I spent another year struggling in a recession-filled construction industry to set out to help these subcontractors who were being subby-bashed by large main contractors that I used to work for. So I was a bit sort of, I know the rules that could trip you up, and I want to come out and help and support you. Now, for those of you that know me, last year was an extremely difficult year. I had, like I said, I had debts and mortgages to pay. The income wasn't coming in. And I kept crying out to God, why is this happening? Why did I feel that he was pushing me down this path, yet nothing was coming of it? And I made a bold move. As a puppet on a string, I did a mail shot, and I sat and I said to God, you know, I don't know why I'm bothering doing this. You know, I've done this, nobody pays attention. And I really was a puppet on a string. I just went through the motions. And that was July last year. And after that, the floodgates opened. I have some great clients now. I'm on my 22nd client now. And it's difficult because I am just me, myself, and I dealing with some of the most bullish directors of construction companies that I've ever known. I go to meetings with these subcontractors where the cases that I've presented on the legal and financial side come under great attack. I feel like every time I go to these meetings, I am in a lion's den. And I struggle with my own confidence and my own ability. My faith is far more important to me and helps me far more than it has done in my whole time as being a Christian. And I am actually thankful that I stepped out in faith, or was pushed out in faith, because the last 2 years really have just been such a journey. Still having major problems in the construction industry, you're also dealing with people's livelihoods. And when people come to you saying that, you know, they're not getting paid, what's the point in carrying on? It's their lifeblood, it's their livelihoods as well. And there have been times where I have almost been on my knees saying to God, you know, why you're meant to be the God of fairness and justice, and things just seem so unjust. And then I get gentle reminders of, you know, you've been given skill sets, you've been given certain gifts. There are people in your life that you can call on. There are people placed in your life that you can call on. And they help fight that battle. They really do help find that battle. Having to do this tonight has actually made me realise how God has worked in my life, and how God, just by surrendering, he's actually worked through me. I'm actually in awe of that, I really am. I still sometimes think, what on earth am I doing? You know, it's just, to me, it just seems the craziest career option ever. you're dealing with people who lie, cheat, fraud. It is very difficult. But like I said, without my faith, I just don't think I would be able to carry on and fight the fight. And strangely, 4 years ago, I set this company up, and part of the name of the company is from the word Dorcas, which comes from Acts. And Dorcas, Tabitha, was actually someone who went out and helped the poor and needy. And that's where I feel that I am just now, is helping people, companies, who are poor and in need, and to try and fight that battle for them. And as I said, I'm just me, myself, and I don't have a mega structure, but I've got God on my back and on my front and above me and beside me. And like I said, without that, I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning, put it that way. So, yeah, thank you.
And finally, it's you, Derek.
Come at you without my glasses. We'll have to fly it then. Well, as you all know, I'm a clown, and I work in a circus. Yes, not really. I work at the University of Edinburgh, and I'm in technical service. But some days, it feels like I'm a clown working in a circus. However, the university does an awful lot, as you know. The university takes all the bright people in the country, and it gives them a degree, hopefully, at the end of it all. And some of them stay on, and they go beyond their degree, and they do a BSc, right? They do a PhD on top of that, you know, so then they're really, really clever people, you know. And I work with a lot of these clever people doing lots and lots of things. I started the university in 1971. Was anybody not born in 1971? Put your hand up. Oh, it was great. You should have been there. It was absolutely fantastic. Anyway, I started work in 1971. I'm still at the University of Edinburgh, which is quite incredible. I started at the University of Edinburgh in January of 1971, and I became a Christian in February of 1971. And I knew when I became a Christian that God had got me that job. It's really interesting because I was kind of lost. I left school with a couple of O grades, you know, or standard grades. That's all I had. I just didn't like school. I wanted out the place. Hated it, really. And I had to go to night school to get my English even, because I didn't even get my English standard grade. So I went to night school. I managed to get that, because without English and arithmetic, you couldn't really do anything. Yes, did you hear that? That's not fair. So anyway, I did that. I went to night school, and I got my English. And the university, of course, employed me, and they gave me dear release. So I was able to go and collect qualifications at college. I went one day a week to college, and over 5 years, I got this full technological certificate in mechanical engineering. I then went back to night school again, because I realized that mechanical engineering wasn't enough. I needed electronics, because there was so much electronics going on. So I went off and did electronics. And then I went off and did technical drawing, right? But specifically CAD, computer-aided drawing, because I could see that that was going to come in, and I need to know a bit about that as well. And everything else you just pick up on the way. So God was really good to me. He got me a job before before he brought me to himself, which was really quite exciting when you can see that, and you can see that God's had his hand on you all that time. And I was fairly certain, too, because God actually saved me on my birthday, which is... and I think the reason he did it, to be honest with you, is because I had a lot of doubts, and it was going to be very difficult for God to persuade me that this was right and he was actually there. So he obviously knew how to get my attention. So that's kind of how I got there, right? I started university, and I'm still there. Now, I've been asked to say a little bit about what's it like in that environment, isn't it? What challenges do I face? Well, I probably face the same sort of challenges that you would face in your job, or you might even face at school, actually, or at college. And you see this little bit here, John? It's not tall enough. It's just not tall enough. I'll fix it. But what sort of challenges? The people you work beside haven't got the same ethos as you have. Have you noticed that? You know? I'm very lucky to work in a very, very well-paid job. And I'm very, very lucky that there's lots of things in place to protect me. And the university is a great employer. But a lot of people who work for the University of Edinburgh, believe me, they don't think that at all. They think the University of Edinburgh owes them stuff, you know. In fact, they take it home with them quite often as well, although it belongs to the University of Edinburgh. And they're always wanting you to do it too. Because you see, anyone who's doing something wrong wants you to do it so that it doesn't make them feel as bad, because you're just one of them. So the challenge is not to do what they're doing. That sometimes makes them angry as well, by the way. But the challenge is to work with people and to try and live differently. And it's impossible to do that in your own strength. You have to understand that. If you try, you will fail. Guaranteed you will fail. You will slip up. So the only way you can do it is if you do it in God's strength. And he promises to give you that strength. So that's what I have to try and do. And a little while ago, in the year 2000, about a third of our technical staff were laid off. Basically, we had to apply for our own jobs. It was a downsizing exercise. And everybody was very worried. You can imagine that whenever you met somebody, they were saying, oh dear, what do you think is going to happen? All this kind of stuff. And fortunately, this was a period where I wasn't worried at all. I was trusting God. And lots of people would say to me, why are you not worried? Why are you not worried about this? We could lose our jobs. And I was able to say, well, I'm trusting God. And of course, I didn't lose my job. And fortunately, over a period of time, I've actually been made up to a higher grade. So God's looked after me. But at that time, people get very, very worried about what's going to happen because they don't know God. And they trust in themselves, don't they? Because who are you going to trust in if you haven't got God? You've got to trust in yourself or someone else or something else. But whatever you put your trust in, it won't be as good. Because no one is as faithful as God. So how does my faith help? A lot of people that work with me know that I'm a Christian, either because I've told them or they've asked me, why is it you do this? And some of them have let me pray with them as well, which is quite exciting because that's difficult. But it's an environment which is a science environment, as you can imagine, and scientists all think they're clever, don't they? They all think they're clever. In fact, we've even named things that they've figured out after them, Ohm's Law, etc., etc. You know all these things, all these equations, something like that. And you know, the only way that they're clever enough to figure them out is God in his creation has placed an order and a way things that work. And all they've done is figure out there's an order. Well done. But it's what God did. If God had not put that order there, there'd be nothing for them to figure out and they'd be as stupid as everyone else. So it's difficult being a Christian in that environment because they put so much faith in themselves. So that's the difference. And that's the challenge, is to work with these people and try and make a difference and try and let them see a different way.